to flick the switch. We become a blinding light to the world. And I love it when it just all flows and God just speaks so clearly. So I'm really excited this morning. And I maybe want to start with this. As we Christians, we're called to be Christians. Well, we're not called to be Christians. We are Christians. We call ourselves Christians, right? So the word Christian, what does it mean? It means little Christ. To follow Christ means little Christ. What does Christ mean? Anointed one. So what are we? Little anointed ones. Did you hear that scripture Robin just brought? I've anointed you too. What has he anointed us to do? And like, this is why I get so excited, because this is my preach. Like, Robin shows me this scripture, and I'm like, that's what I'm preaching on. I was like, come on. So I feel like this is what God wants to do. The importance of the anointing, what he's called us to do, and allowing the Holy Spirit to flow through us. So what is the anointing? Just maybe for those of you who don't know, the anointing would often be typically used as part of a religious ceremony, and it would be the rubbing on or the smearing of oil upon people. But that oil is representative of the Holy Spirit, okay? So we don't necessarily go around smearing oil over everybody. A good example of this, I think, is when Samuel anoints David in the Old Testament, there is a setting apart that happens. It's a signifying of a setting apart that happens and a purpose that ensues. And scripture is, he says, the Lord says to Samuel, fill your horn with oil. And then a couple of scriptures down, so Samuel took the horn of oil and anointed him, speaking about David, in the presence of his brothers. And from that day on, the Spirit of the Lord came powerfully upon David. And it's just like this, I just want to work that in, that's the point of the anointing, is there's a purpose behind it. There is a setting apart. And maybe turn to the person next to you. Turn to the person next to you and say, you are anointed. You are anointed. And like I said, so the big question is, what are we anointed for? What are we anointed for? And Luke 4:18 is really what I want to focus in on this morning. And the context of this is that is actually the scroll of Isaiah. Isaiah prophesies that in the Old Testament, and Jesus comes in the New Testament. That's why I picked the New Testament quoting of this verse, because this is Jesus reading this. And he is actually proclaiming what he has been called to do. So he stands up in front of the Pharisees and he said, the Spirit of the Lord is on me, because he has anointed me to preach the good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners and recovery of sight for the blind, to release the oppressed. Now that's Jesus' calling. That's what he's been anointed to do. We've just figured out that's also our calling. That's also what we've been anointed to do. If we are little Christs, little anointed ones, are we not called to do exactly the same thing? Exactly the same thing. And my challenge to us this morning is, are we proclaiming the good news to the poor? Because that's when we begin to see the anointing flow. Are we testifying about Jesus and the work he's done in our lives? Are we sharing the great news that we have? Or are we sitting on it and keeping it to ourselves? We've been called to proclaim freedom to prisoners. So are we giving hope to others? We've been called to proclaim recovery over the sight to the blind. So it's healing. Are we praying for healing? Not only spiritual healing, but physical healing. Are we stepping out in faith, trusting for physical healings? Sometimes, and God's been doing this in my heart, I think I shared it last week, is, you know, if we don't risk, we don't see. We don't risk, we don't see. Reinhard Bonnke, I don't know if you guys know who he is. He's a very famous evangelist. He's seen millions of people come to the Lord. He has seen signs and wonders follow him. Like many miraculous things happen when he preaches. Many people have healed. He's raised many people from the dead. But you know what he says? when he gets asked about the people that he's raised from the dead, you know what he says? Do you know how many people I've prayed for that haven't been raised from the dead? Do you know how many people that he's prayed for that are dead that haven't been raised from the dead? And like, that's it. Are we actually stepping out in faith? Like, here's a question. When's the last time you prayed for somebody that was dead? It's quite hectic. I mean, once in my whole life, I've actually only seen somebody that was dead and was able to pray. And like, I was trusting, nothing happened, but once I've been exposed to that. So like, are we even exposing ourselves to these things? Are we stepping out? Are we risking in a sense? Like, and I want to create space for the Holy Spirit to move in this congregation. I've got such faith for that. God is stirring that up in us. Are we risking, even on a Sunday? Who wants to heal? Why do people want to get healed? For the proclamation of the good news. We want people to come into the kingdom. That's the point of it. But God wants to heal. He wants to proclaim the good news. He wants to see captives set free. So like, my challenge to us is, if we're not living this Luke 4:18 lifestyle, which I'll refer to a few times, we're actually stopping the flow of the Holy Spirit through us. We're blocking it. See, our purpose, and we spoke about this, you preached on it on Tuesday, actually. What is our purpose? Why were we created? We were created to reflect the glory of God. Full stop. People can say we're created to worship, we're created, but no. Maybe, but we were created to reflect the glory of God. How do we reflect the glory of God? By doing that. That's how we reflect His glory. That's how we carry His image into the world. It's like, I love church. Church planters is so cool. It was like, it's just so encouraging. That's how we change the world. That's how we make a difference. We're never going to change the economy or by just sitting in our little churches praying. We've got to get out there. We've got to get into the communities, plant healthy churches, begin to reflect the glory of God in these broken communities. We can sit in our chairs comfortably and pray about it here on a Sunday. We can actually do it. Sorry, I feel like I'm... So, I mean, Jesus says this in Mark 16:15-18. He said to him, he's talking to his disciples, go out into all the world and preach the gospel to all creation. Whoever believes and is baptized will be saved, but whoever does not believe will be condemned. And these signs will accompany those who believe. In my name, they will drive out demons. They will speak in new tongues. They will pick up snakes with their hands, and when they drink deadly poison, it will not hurt them. They will place their hands on the sick, and they will get well. Amen. It doesn't say everybody's hands you place on will get well, but it says if you place your hands on the sick and pray for them in faith, they will get well. So are we stepping out in faith? And that's really what I want to encourage us this morning to do. Like, there was a prophetic word over Weinberg a while when we first arrived. We got together as elders and we started praying for what God wanted to do in this new season. And the word came that we were a river, and I feel like I'm jumping way ahead, but I actually feel like this is the time for this quickly. Give me a second. Yeah. As they went back, I saw on the bank of the river very many trees on the one side and on the other. And he said to me, this water flows toward the eastern region and goes down to the Arabah and enters the sea. And when the water flows into the sea, the water will become fresh. And wherever the river goes, every living creature that swarms will live. And there will be very many fish. For where this water goes, the water of the sea will become fresh. So everything will live where the river goes. Sorry, I should have given you that scripture. The scripture is from Ezekiel 47:1-12. You guys can have a look at that. Ezekiel 47:1-12 is a prophetic word that's been spoken over this congregation. Now, if we are called to be that river of life, as we allow the Holy Spirit to flow through us, we begin to see many different type of fish. And that fish, for me, when I look at that word, is people of many nations and tongues. The trees planted along the banks are those that are well planted next to this river of life, oaks of righteousness, that those animals and those they can come and shelter underneath. And because God's been really just stirring this up in me. If this is who we got to be, if this is what he's called us to be, we need to begin to step out. We need to begin to step out. I've got a good analogy. Robin's analogy last week was priceless. Unfortunately, I had already like started feeling this 2 weeks ago, and I kind of confirmed it for Robin that he can use that. So my picture that God gave me is quite an interesting one. So let me start on this, a quick biology lesson. Is we have kidneys. We have a body that functions. We have water. So MC. Some of us have got kidneys. For those of you, quarter of a kidney. 20%. MC's got 20% of a kidney. So MC will know that what I'm talking about. Our bodies have kidneys, and the function of the kidney is to clean the blood, right? Cleans the blood and all the impurities out of the body. So we drink water. It brings nutrients into our body. It nourishes our body. But the water goes to our kidneys, and it flushes the kidneys. It flushes the kidneys of all the impurities, takes the water, sits in the bladder, and then we know what happens from there on. All right. I'm not going to as far as Robin went. Now, it's a picture. I love this picture. Because a picture of water is the Spirit. And we've got to let the Spirit flow through us. And Estienne brought a word. He felt that God wants to come and cut things off in our hearts as we let the Spirit flow. And we letting the Spirit flow through us in obedience, it begins to clean us from within. Now, bearing that in mind, a little biology lesson, I've got a story to tell you, which happened to me. I was about 14 years old, 15 years old, and I love fishing, and I grew up in Port Elizabeth, and I had a friend of mine in my class. He also enjoyed fishing, and his dad had a boat, so we went deep sea fishing the one day. Went out really, really early in the morning, and the fish were on. It was a great day, and there was lots of fishing happening. And I drank a lot of water before I left, and got out there, started enjoying fishing, and all of a sudden, like, I needed the toilet. I needed to make a wee. And I couldn't. For the life of me, I couldn't, no matter how hard I tried. Like, it was just the three of us on this boat, but it was a little rubber duck, and it was kind of, like, swaying a little bit. So I'm, like, kind of standing off the back of the boat, like, really concentrating, and I just can't. I'm quite young. I got a bit of stage fright as well. I'm like, stop looking at me, you know. And I just couldn't do it. Like, the whole time we were out there, I couldn't. So the very first thing, I begin to, like, obviously what happens when you need to go to the toilet and you can't go to the toilet, it becomes uncomfortable, right? Discomfort is maybe the first thing you experience. Then you knape a little bit longer. We call it knaping. Is that English or Afrikaans word? Afrikaans word. Quenching. Pinching. I don't know, whatever. So, knaped a little bit longer, pinched a little longer, whatever you want to call it, and it eventually wasn't uncomfortable anymore. It started to become painful, and I was in pain. I was sitting in the front of the boat, going, "Yes, this is painful," and I became useless on the boat. I was like, I couldn't fish anymore. That which I loved to do, I couldn't even do. I couldn't enjoy the fishing. I couldn't partake in what was going on. I became useless to myself. Now I'm just sitting on a boat in the fetal position in the front of the boat, like crying for us to go home. But they obviously loving the fishing, and they're not doing anything about it because they want to catch fish. So I'm just like, praying, Lord, help me. But what I realized from this picture is this is a random odd picture that God dropped into my memory. Was I didn't only become useless to myself, I became useless to them as well. I couldn't help them. I couldn't bait up rods. I couldn't put lines in the water. I could do nothing. So now I'm just the body on the boat, taking up space, in pain and discomfort. Eventually we got back and long story. But this is the picture God gave me. And he's like, that's what happens in the Spirit when you quench the Spirit, or you stop and you block the Spirit. Which is going to bring me to the title of my preach, which I haven't even told you guys. It's a funny one. You'll remember it. If you cork it, you won't walk it. Thanks, Chantel. Because it's so true. If you cork the Holy Spirit, if you stop the flow of the Spirit, you're not going to walk in what God's got for you. You're not going to walk into life. And it's such a vivid picture of me because I've experienced it. And I was like, Margo, we were talking about it, and she's had a similar experience as well. But like, that's what really, it impacted me so much. It's like, that's what happens in the Spirit. You see, we become useless at reflecting God's glory to the world if we're sitting on the Spirit in us. And I don't know about you guys, but has anybody that's really needed the toilet wanted a drink of water? No. You want to drink water when you're empty, when you're thirsty. So you don't. There's not a desire to be filled more. And eventually what happens, if we go back to that little biology lesson, what happens with that kidney, if you don't let it go, impurities begin to build up in your body. And eventually that'll lead to that internally you begin to get poisoned. Eventually it'll lead to septicemia and eventually actually death. And God was, he was just whispering these things in my ear. He was saying, don't become stagnant in the Spirit. You've got to let it go. And I love that. That's it. Going back to what Estian said, that key word, when he shared the gospel, that's the very first line of Luke 4. It says, preach the good news to the poor. When he shared the gospel, what is it? He felt alive. There was something in him that was like awakened. And it was this beautiful, beautiful picture of what God does and how he does it through the Spirit. And I'll give you a better scripture, not only just maybe my analogy of going fishing and needing the toilet. Elisha and the widow. And this is not the widow that you're thinking of. This is another one. Her husband had died. And she has two sons. She comes to Elisha and she says to him, Elisha, she was actually a wife of one of the sons of the prophets. She says, Elisha, I have two sons. The creditors are coming to fetch my sons. I cannot afford to pay my bills, my debts. They're coming to take away everything I have. I have no money. And Elisha says to her, what do you have? And she says, I've got a bottle of oil at home. And Elisha says to her, right, tell your sons to go and fetch as many empty canisters or flasks as they can. And they go and they fetch the flasks. And she starts to, and he says, now pour the oil into the flasks. And that oil is representative of the Holy Spirit. And he says, now pour the oil into the flasks. And she begins to pour. And she begins to pour. And the first flask gets filled. Brings the next one. Second flask gets filled. From this one bottle, next one gets filled, gets filled, gets filled. And it continues. And eventually, when all the jars were full, she said to her son, bring me another one. But he replies, there are no jars left. And then the very next line says, and the oil stopped. If we are not emptying ourselves of the Spirit and allowing it to flow through us to the nations, trusting for healing, preaching the gospel, trusting for freedom over people, we're going, the oil's going to stop flowing into our own lives. There was a scripture that Dull shared on at the prayer meeting this morning. And I wasn't going to share this, but I thought, yes, maybe I should. In John 7, 37 to 39, it says, on the last day of the great festival, Jesus stood up and said in a loud voice, let anyone who is thirsty come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as Scripture said, rivers of living water will flow from them. Now, we know rivers need to flow. By this he meant the Spirit, whom those who believed in him had not or had not yet received. They were later to receive. Now, there's an interesting parallel here, or picture here, that I've never realized. You know that feast that they're talking about there was the Feast of Tabernacles. And there was a specific ritual that they used to do. They used to go down every day, and they used to go scoop water from the Pool of Siloam. They used to come, and they used to pour it over the offering. There was a over the altar, and there was a hole in that altar. That water used to flow through the altar and out. And on the last day of the feast, interesting you say that in John, it says on the last day of the feast, Jesus gets up. It's like the climax of the feast. Jesus gets up and he says, those who are thirsty will come to me and drink. And he's speaking about the Spirit. And then there's that scripture in Corinthians that says, well, do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit? That's a picture of us. Oh, that's the picture for us. It's this temple and the pouring of the water, allowing it to run through. Are we not the same? Your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit. You see this, I've been speaking a little bit about the individual consequence in a sense. As I've shared the how it affects us, but there's also it affects more than just us. It affects more than just me and more than just you, it affects us. And this picture I love, you may have heard this before. It's a well known story or it's widely shared, but there's two seas in Israel. It's the Lake of Galilee, or the Sea of Galilee, and the Dead Sea. And interestingly enough, they both are fed from the same river, the River Jordan. Flows into both of them. The Dead Sea, as its name says, is very dead. Very salinity is very high. There's no fish in it, no life in it, nothing. The Sea of Galilee, on the other hand, is full of life. And actually overflows to give life to the whole of a lot of Israel. The basin, I think it's the En Gedi that it flows to, and it brings nourishment and fertile soil to that area as well as it's with runoff. But how can these two seas that are fed from the same source, one be dead and one be alive? And for me, that's a picture of us in a sense. If we don't hold to the word that's been spoken of us over Weinberg, we're a river, let us flow, we might be in danger of dying. We might be in danger of becoming inwardly focused. And the reason for the difference between those two seas is because the one allows the water to flow out. The Dead Sea doesn't. There's no outflow of the Dead Sea. The water catches and it stagnates and it dies. There's no life there. The other one, the Sea of Galilee, allows the water to flow through and filter into the rest of the land. And actually, like I said, most of the water in Israel actually comes from the Sea of Galilee. So this is a beautiful corporate picture of how we are called to this. Not only me, it's us. And for us to walk in this, really. And as I've been sharing, I hope that I'm stirring something in your hearts. I hope that I've been, this was like lighting a fire. Come on, man. Come on, man. Pull the cork. Step out in faith. And I can probably tell you how to do, like there's many different ways how, but actually you've just got to step out in faith and do. Like Mark shared, he felt that he just needed to carry on speaking to the person and he was front-footed and he spoke to the person. Monica, like that is quite an intimidating situation. She goes and she does it. And I with the youth this week, we were on Friday night, we were sitting chatting and I challenged them all. I said to them, we were chatting about this. She's saying, if you shared the gospel with one person a day, that's 365 people a year. So I said to them, don't worry, that's quite intense. Which is not really, but like they're young kids, so let's not put too much pressure on them. I said, let's one person this week, just one person this week, go and walk up to and ask them if you can pray for them. Ask them ask them about Jesus. Just try and share the gospel with them. Just try. It's difficult. It'll be difficult the first time you do it. I can promise you, it's not easy, but you'll begin to feel alive because you'll be surprised by the response you get. And I've challenged them. I said, guys, let's hear the testimonies next week. And I want that challenge to go to you guys too. I want to encourage you guys. I've been chatting with Wayne a little bit, and he brought me some little key rings. And they say, we meet Sunday morning, corner of Waterloo and Car Hill Road in Weinberg at 9 o'clock. That's all. It's just a nice little... It's a nice little giveaway. I want to give these to you. I've got about 35 or so here. I haven't got that many, but I want to give these tasks to you. This is your reminder and your tool. Share the gospel with one person this week. Step out in faith in one situation this week. out of your comfort zone. Go for it. So I don't know how to give these. If I throw them, I might hurt you guys. A bit sharp, like ninja stars. So I'm going to put these at the door at the back. First come, first serve. I'm sorry, guys. I don't have enough for everybody. Wayne will make more. He said he will make some more. But is that all right? I'm going to put these at the back. And give the, and you're not allowed to keep it because you know when we meet. You know where we meet. You're going to have, you've got to give this to somebody. Is that all right? Awesome. Fantastic. So the very first line in that scripture is preach the gospel. So I want to be obedient to that right now. Right now. Because God has come, or Jesus has come, and he's given us salvation. He's given us salvation so that we can take salvation, his salvation, to them. He's come for us so that we can do for them. It's not us that do it, but it's the message that we're taking. It's the message that we're taking. And I want to be obedient to that even right now. And the gospel is this. Is God created us to be with him. Our sins separate us from him. Sins cannot be removed by good deeds. Nothing we can do will get us into heaven. Jesus alone. Paying the price of sin, Jesus died on the cross for your sins. Everyone and anyone who trusts in him will have eternal life. And it's by grace you have been saved through faith alone. Through faith alone. A good life is not going to get you to heaven. It's by grace and faith. Do you mind if I want to ask you this question? It's an interesting question. If you're sitting here this morning, maybe you've never walked into a church before, maybe you've never been to church before, do you know, if you had to die tonight, where would you go? It's a big question. There's only two places, heaven or hell. This eternity is guaranteed, but one's in heaven and one's in hell. If you had to die tonight, where would you go? If you had to walk out of here and get hit by a train, or not a train, a bus, what? Where would you go? But have you thought about that? Do you want to settle that thought right now in your heart? Because I want to give us an opportunity to do that. I don't know if you guys will stand with me. So if you've answered that question, just think about that question. If you've answered that question in your heart, and the answer to that is, I don't know actually where I'm going. I don't know. But you want to know that the answer to that question is, I do know, and that I'm going to heaven. I want you to pray this with me. In fact, I want everybody to pray this with me. If you'll just bow, can we bow our heads? Brian, if you'll just come up maybe and... We say, Lord, I've sinned against you. I repent and I ask you to forgive me for all my sins. I believe that you, Jesus Christ, died for my sins and rose again on the third day. Please, won't you come into my heart and be Lord of my life? Please help me to live for you. In Jesus' name, amen. I want to ask you, maybe it's with all our heads still bowed. If you prayed that prayer for the very first time this morning, for the very first time, can I ask you just to raise your hand? I'd love to pray with you. I know it might be a little bit intimidating. There's a gentleman at the back there. The young lady over here. Thank you, Jesus. This is the most exciting day of your life. This is the most important day of your life. It's more important than the day you were born, because now you've been born into eternity. And also, I want to maybe ask you that If you prayed that prayer this morning and you feel like you've walked away from the Lord, and you meant that prayer when you prayed it now, but you feel like you've walked away from the Lord and you want to recommit your life to Him, I want to ask you maybe just to raise your hand as well. Is there anyone else? It's a big moment. It's nothing to be shy of. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Jesus. What's your name? Michaela and Lee, we just want to welcome you into you because you've just taken a step into the kingdom of heaven. You've just taken a step into eternity with Jesus. And I want to maybe some leaders just to come out and pray with them. Because we're not done yet. You know, as I've been sharing, maybe it stirred something in your heart. Maybe you realize that actually you haven't been stepping out. Maybe you've been corking it a bit. Maybe you've been blocking the flow of the Holy Spirit in your life. And if that's you, I want to invite you to come stand in the front here. I want to invite you just to come and get before the Lord and just repent and say, Lord, I haven't been faithful with the Spirit of the living God that you've placed inside of my heart. I haven't let the Holy Spirit flow. I haven't been obedient in moments. Maybe I've been stuck in fear of man. Maybe I've been stuck in fear of outcome of a situation. And then to commit to doing that which the Lord has called us to do. To walking in the anointing by His Spirit. I'd love to pray with you. Let's give you some time.